The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 27th day of January 2022, right?
Yes.
And tonight, that was, today she's been out all day following her own tracks in the snow. Why she does that, we don't know. Where does she think she'll go? Little Lisa!
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. All right, tonight we have on the board, we have none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have that rascal Randy in here.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
Okay, you got to get closer to the mic. I get on top. They can't hear you. Could
Be
you hear?
Be blessed. No stress, everyone.
All right, there you go. And then my two guests tonight are two. Well, we want to call them kind of heroes of the faith. One of them was my associate pastor for many years, and he paid a price for standing fast to the convictions and holding to it. And that's, well, Richard Lewis.
Hi there, everyone, and yes, it was 10 years of interesting things, but
we'll talk about that.
We'll get there. Yes,
your crime was you petitioned the court to show you the law. How dare you want to see the law?
Right.
And then here's a guy that spent another 25 years in prison for a crime that never happened.
Tony Chaffee.
Yep, Tony Chaffee.
God bless you guys out there.
Alrighty, there you go. So we're gonna be talking about the days that we're living in, and the title of the message tonight is "For Such a Time as This." For such a time as this, and we started out with the book of Esther, and we went to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and tonight we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're left off here on the 29th, and Richard and I are going to read all the way through 39. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, when the Egyptians assailed to do were drowned.
By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days.
By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace.
And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barca, and Samson, and of Jethro, and David also, and Samuel, and the prophets.
Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions.
Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the arms of the aliens.
Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection.
And others had trial of cruel mockeries and scourgings. Yea, Moreover, the bonds of imprisonment.
They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted and slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented.
Of whom the world would not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
And these all having obtained a good report through faith received not the promise.
God have proven some better things of us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
All right, so here, Moses gave up wealth and power. He traded a short season of sin with and pleasure for eternity. He was going to be king. Moses could have been king, but he believed in God, and he understood that being a king wasn't going to last that long. Okay, now here, that last verse here sums this whole thing up when it says, "God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." The mighty Jewish heroes did not receive God's total reward because they died before Christ came. They, along with the Christian saints, who endured much testing, will be rewarded together. Mm-hmm. And so, at times such as this, I want to, with that, let's go back to verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. When the Egyptians assailed to do so, were drowned. You say, well, you know, how much faith did that take? Well, think about that. You see, the sea parted. Has anybody ever seen the sea parted before? No, nobody's seen the sea parted before, right?
And you say, got, how long anyway?
Right. You got these huge walls of water, right?
Right.
Yes.
And they say, go on through there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look in there and you're thinking, oh, but, they just follow the leader. And so here, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now think about that today, getting people to march around. Those walls of Jericho, that was a lot of marching. I mean, a lot of marching. And you're talking a lot of people to march around for 7 days, okay? And you're thinking, how in the world is that going to make the walls fall down, right? Okay. I mean, these are big walls. These were high walls, okay? And then here, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them. Now, Rahab, what do you think they would have done to her had they caught her, the king and his people, if they'd have caught her betraying him, committing treason? She wouldn't have died a fast death, would she?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
No. Hiding the spies up on the roof, that was, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but not just for her, but for her whole family. But she believed in God, didn't she?
Yes,
she did.
Her faith was in what God could do, okay. And so here when he talks about, what more would I say time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Now Gideon, here he is. Remember where he was when the Lord came to him and said, "O man of valor," he was down in a wine press, right?
Yes.
Hiding down there.
Hiding, threshing wheat. Yeah.
And he must have thought, who are you talking to? Do you see where I'm at?
Yeah.
And God said, oh, no, it's all right. Here's what you're going to do, okay? And he feared the enemies, but he feared God more, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a smart thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Yes.
And then Barak, he had a job to do. He was outnumbered, but he went and he did exactly what he knew he had to do. He had the faith to do that. And Samson, in the end, what did he ask for? He asked God,
strengthen me one more time.
Yeah, just one more time.
Just one more time.
Yep. You got to pull that mic right up to you because, you see, when you get more than about 4 inches away from it there, what happens? See what happens here when you get away from the mic. Okay.
I got you.
All righty. There you go. And so here, of course, we know about David and Samuel and the prophets who faith, subdued kingdoms, who wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Who was it that stopped the mouths of the lions?
Daniel.
Daniel stopped the mouth of the lions, didn't
he? Sure he did.
Okay, the Lord did. Actually, Samson did that too.
Well, sure, yeah, he did also.
And quenched the violence of fire. Who we know who did
Meshach,
that?
Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
Yep, there you go. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness,
escaped? David did that a whole bunch of times.
And his mighty men.
Yes, he did.
David and the mighty men, okay. And valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Now, we may be fighting the armies of the aliens. I mean, real big armies. They brought in about 2 million of them so far that we know.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, and so women received their dead raised to life again. Who was it that had their dead raised to life again?
Well, Lazarus, the woman that housed Elijah, received her dead raised.
Yep, all right, very good. And others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings. Well, who was it got some cruel mocking?
Well, the Lord himself got cruel mockings and scourging.
Well, yeah, we know that. What about Jeremiah?
Oh, yeah.
He was put in stocks.
Stocks, okay. And that's right.
They put what about?
Joseph.
Pardon?
Joseph.
Joseph, yeah.
Joseph was humiliated.
And here, some were stoned. Who was stoned? Stephen.
Stephen, okay. That's right.
Okay. One was sawn asunder.
Isaiah.
Isaiah was sawn asunder, Isaiah. Okay. And so all of these things there, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not that promise. In other words, the Lord Jesus had not come yet and told them what we have. But God, having provided some better thing for us, that they with us should not be made perfect. They without us should not be made perfect. So, again, they along with us, the saints, the Christian saints, will be rewarded together. And with that, I wanted to kind of introduce my guests here tonight. Starting with you, Richard. Richard, you were my associate pastor, and over the years we've had... and you're one that's still alive, okay? you spent 10 years in prison you did a terrible thing. You actually petitioned a court to show you the law. Now, I remember the day of your trial. I went down to the courthouse, and as I was to go in to the courthouse, as I went to open the door, somebody called my name, and as I turned, the door opened, a hand came out on my chest, shoved me, and then they locked the door so I couldn't get into the hearing.
Wow.
And so who did you have in there with you? Did you have anybody in there?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, when they bring you out of the back and, you don't really know who's around, and you're not able to really look around to see if there was any support at all. But no one was supporting me as far as saying anything.
We have an extremely corrupt judicial system. I have absolutely no confidence, not a bit of confidence in our judicial system anymore, and I've got no respect for it anymore out there, you know, especially here. You know, after all of the election fraud we had, and all of these courts with this election fraud, it was bad enough that they had so many in the media lying. I mean, lying about it. Here, these courts did not have the integrity, the honor, to do their job and to hear the cases. They were bought off. They were bought off, and they, you know, Isaiah. In Hosea chapter 4, it describes it perfectly. It says they went a-whoring. They went a-whoring, and then they became whores. They became, And that's what happens when you sell yourself. And that's what they did. They sold us out. They sold the American people out. They didn't do their job. They didn't stand up. And so they were afraid. They were intimidated by burn, loot, and murder. And by
what about the January 6 people that are still in jail?
Right. And we have such corrupt courts. Such corrupt courts. Yeah. And then that the entire course of the Congress. I truly believe that there is not one single congressman or woman within the Democratic Communist Party that has not been corrupted. I truly believe that there's not one, that every single one to the man or woman are corrupted in there. And I think it's one of the reasons they know it too. You've got about 30 of them that are stepping down. They want to get out while the getting's good, okay, because they know what's coming.
Yeah, the special interest groups and everything. I don't know how it got so bad, how the country allowed it to get so bad, but you have the special interest groups and everything affecting all the politicians. How can that be? I mean, it's supposed to be representing of the people.
Well, I know exactly how it got so bad, Richard. There was one group of people who were supposed to see that it didn't get that way, that were supposed to lead the people, and they were the pastors in the pulpits. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to set the standards. They were supposed to remember what Scripture says, the righteous are to be as bold as lions, and they were supposed to stand up. When that ungodly court that was supreme only in its sin back in 62, when they expelled God from the public school system, mm-hmm. the pastors should have stood up and said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This, in this country, we are the people, right? In this country, you know, a lot of people misunderstood what the Lord Jesus said, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and render to God what belongs to God. But in this country, what belongs to Caesar belongs to us. We, the people, are the bosses of those politicians. And that's the way it was supposed to be. That's what a republic is, right? But what happened, and the pastors were supposed to stand up, and boldly, they should have marched on D.C. They should have put that corrupt court on trial for treason against God, but they failed. The pastors failed. 73, the same thing happened, Richard, when they declared God dead, declared that this corrupted court we have here, we can now make what God has made unlawful, we will make legal if you purchase a license with mammon, okay? And the pastors failed again. I remember saying, hey, you know, there was 100 of us who went down to stand against this. But I remember one pastor in particular saying to me, if you keep this up, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. He was more afraid of bringing the government down on prissy preachers.
Yeah.
And that same pastor later on, said to me, promise me one thing, he said before he died, that you'll never quit preaching the gospel. Okay, there you go. But you see, that was, and that's the truth. And so that's the reason. But now, here, when they, I remember going back to you. You were the head, the magistrate of the common law court, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we had the common law court. That was that old schoolhouse over there on what road was that? Over there in Euclid is where we met. Remember?
Yeah, that was at Upson School. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we were in that school, and we were holding court in there. And Carl Monday was there, and I'm not sure if it was what Channel 3. I can't remember. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what he was associated with. One of the big three.
Yeah, and so here, and he had someone from, I believe it was the ADL with him. Now I'm standing right next to him, and I mean I'm standing right, and I know, and they're filming you and what's going on, and then they go out and they go on the air. And they said caught with a hidden camera. Everybody in the place knew that they were there. Yeah. A flat outright lie, right? And so here, then I'm watching this, and then they're showing you, and then they're showing Adolf Hitler, the corrupt media, the absolutely worthless, okay? And then they go back to you, and then they go to the Ku Klux Klan. And here now, they had to keep shutting the camera off and stopping it because about a third of the people there were black. And every time a black guy would walk in front of the camera, they had to shut it off, right? And so because of that, I went after old Carl Mundy. I mean, I really went after him big time. And to finally, I'm trying to remember, because that's been many years ago now, they called me and said, please, Pastor, you know, you can't take this personally, you know. And I said, I do. When you lie about my friends and myself, then I take it personally. And so now you became an enemy of the state out there because you were trying to hold a legitimate court. A legitimate court, you know, where, according to our Constitution, no bribes, no payoffs, okay, none of the under-the-table backroom deals that were taking place.
Right.
And so now you became an enemy of the state. And I became because I was talking about it. I was telling people what happened, okay? So then eventually they came after you, and they charged you with paper terrorism, okay? And the paper terrorism was you wanted the courts to show you the law. Tell us what law you wanted the courts to show you.
We were trying to actually use the vehicle of the UCC at the time, Uniform Commercial Code, to the whole goal was to force the sheriffs of each county to do their job and basically shut down these abortion clinics. That was the whole idea, and the idea of the UCC, using the UCC, was something that we could apply some pressure on and get the sheriffs to either do their job or step out of the way, and we could have stopped abortion. And the sheriffs can still do that if the sheriffs of each county would step up and do what they're supposed to do. They can actually stop abortion even today.
They have the authority under the UCC to do that, right?
Absolutely.
But very few of them understand that. Now, we have the sheriff in my county, our sheriff, was one of them that signed on to that as an amicus brief to that case that was heard about the forced vax and the forced mask mandates. He signed on to that. He was one of them. Back last year in November, I spoke at Liberty, Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty University, to 250 county sheriffs. Mm. And you know what they wanted me to speak on? Biblical law. They wanted to know about the law that God gave us when he gave us the divine institution of human government there in the Noahic covenant. And that's what I spoke on. And so if we were to go back to that, that's real law. That's what we need to go back to. Our system has been so corrupted. I mean, and then we're going to get into it. Now, in that prison system, I've often said, If I were the king, the first people I would put in prison would be the abortionists because they're child molesters, they're baby rapers, they're murderers, okay? The next group I would put into prison would be the Ohio Parole Board because of what they have done to people. And so we're coming up to a break. We're going to be back right after this with more.
Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The new world order does not mean surrendering our national sovereignty or forfeiting our interests.
We'll be right back. Turn your heart away from me each time when I draw near. Your eyes refuse to meet with mine. They glance away in fear, as if you should not look at your reflection in the mirror. How can I explain to you when you won't understand? You scoff me and you mock me and reject the truth at hand. You spread your vicious rumors all across this troubled land. You willfully and knowingly transgress from his command. Your mind has been made up for you by people you don't know, whose thought machines control the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Every time I think about the damage that's been done, the anger wells inside me till I'm almost overcome. I want to tear the moon out of the sky and drop the sun. Why do I feel so all alone, like I'm the only one? Even though your eyes are open, they may never ever see. Your mind may never comprehend this sinful subtlety. Your heart may never hunger for the truth that sets you free. Your soul may know the darkness of divine eternity. Like petty thieves who plunder in the shadows of the night, they break inside and enter through the windows of your mind. How can I control this poisoning of the soul? These lies that blind your eyes, blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded. Your mind has been made up for you by people you don't know, whose thought machine controls the scene so well it doesn't show. How can I contain this anguish and this pain, knowing that your eyes are blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Have your eyes been blinded by the lies? Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Yes, your eyes are blinded by the lies. Have your eyes been blinded.
Registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse for over a decade. My specialty is critical care, trauma, and flight. Since the start of the COVID pandemic, I've actually been rebranded, I guess you can say, as a leading expert in early intervention strategies executed on a large mass scale using the FLCCC protocol, as well as COVID patient ventilator protective strategies to optimize COVID patients on the ventilators. My story actually begins back in May of 2020. I was one of the original nurses that went to NYC to help with the COVID pandemic, because as we remembered, they needed nurses. Most importantly, they needed ventilators. Well, I was the whole package, a flight nurse that can manage ventilators. And when I arrived there, the gross negligence and the medical, malfeasance that happened in there, and the complete medical mismanagement of these patients, is what has led us to the situation that we're in right now. The pandemic and the hysteria that was created from poor public health measures and poor execution of appropriate early intervention strategies and the handicapping of medical professionals doing their job has led to where we are right now and into the crisis situation that we are in. I will use several key case studies that will represent larger descriptive statistical information for what I'm going to speak of. But when I was in New York, and what continues to happen today, is that many of them are not dying from COVID. Now, many people don't know about me is that I'm actually a master's prepared biochemist, and I have worked extensively with the HIV virus, tracking genetic mutations. So I feel very comfortable going toe-to-toe with some of these doctors here, although I am not a doctor. I'm just a nurse. But what we saw in these front lines, we knew what was happening. And when we asked for the ibuprofen, they said, no, it was contraindicated. When we asked, like, why aren't we giving them steroids? Oh, well, it's not. We're just following orders. Following orders has led to the sheer number of deaths that has occurred in these hospitals. I didn't see a single patient die of COVID. I've seen a substantial number of patients die of negligence and medical malfeasance.
Meaning the shots. All right, what she's talking about with the shots, we wanted to make a correction. It wasn't Channel 3. That was Channel 8 and
Channel 19.
19 that Carl one day worked at in those days. And so, anyhow, but with that clip that we just played here had to do with what's taking place in these hospitals. They're killing people. I've had to intervene on several cases where people went into the hospital and they wanted to give them rendezvous, and the people refused to, and they were afraid. And in some cases, even though they told them no, okay, they still gave it to them, and it killed them. It killed several of the people out there, and so we bring it out. Carl Evans was one. Carl Evans was killed because they gave him the rendezvous. And I believe it was right out there at the hospital in Jog County, I believe it was, where he was, where they killed him. And and just recently we have another fellow from our church that also went in there, and he had told him, do not give me. And then after he wanted to see a chart of the medications that had been given to him, and it was on there. Then I called over there and told him that they're going to have a major lawsuit, and it's going to be a national story. And so what's happening, they're killing people off, and it's people like Fauci, Gates, and Soros and others. If you have enough money, you can kill thousands and thousands of people. And yet, if you don't have money, like you, Richard, and you, Tony, you go to prison, even for crimes that never happened. Now, there's something called the First Amendment, isn't it? Okay, I mean, it used to be anyhow, remember? And you had the right to petition a court to show you, because you had the law, and they couldn't. What happened was they couldn't do that. They could, because then people would know they're not operating under the Constitution. They're not operating under the law.
Right.
And so they told you to stop it. You said, no, you're not operating under the law. And here, you know, show me what you're operating under. And they called you a paper terrorist, didn't they?
Yep, that's for sure.
Okay. And so because they called you, and we talked about what happened at your trial, you ended up spending 10 years in prison for being a paper terrorist, right? Now, see, if it had been different, if you had been a human smuggler or a drug dealer and come in, they would have taken you and put you on a plane in the middle of the night, giving you some money, taxpayer money, and flown you to some city and told you to get out there and hang out until we need you, and we'll call you, right? That's the way it's working today.
Yeah.
And so, all right. Tell us, what do you have to say about all of this? Go ahead. I'm doing all the talking here.
Well, that's fine. You explained it well. Well, you know, going there, it was absolutely upsetting, and, you know, we were trying to obey the law, but like you said, that doesn't matter. But God turned it around, and you know, as the injustice there, you can talk about that, and it's so blatant in the prison system and all around. But God turned it around, and you know, I do have to say that the ministry I had in prison was absolutely a ministry that anybody would die for. I mean, it was absolutely wonderful.
I remember, because there was a time there at the prison They didn't have a chaplain, and you were the acting chaplain. You were an inmate. But even when they had a chaplain, all the guys were going to you as their chaplain.
Yeah, unofficially.
Yeah.
And I had opportunities in the prison that were just wonderful to be able to teach Bible studies and to teach the men there. And it was a fantastic opportunity to touch the hearts of a lot of people. Before I went in, I might as well just tell this quick little story. Before I went in, I had a ministry of providing King James Bibles to prisoners. And I was sending out Bibles as much as I could afford and as often as I could to the requests that I had. And I remember praying that I said, Lord, I don't feel like I'm doing much for you besides sending out these Bibles. I'd just like a more involved ministry. And I end up in prison. And there you go. I had a fantastic opportunities in prison. And a fella, when I first got there, I was talking to on the yard, and he came up to me and he said, you know, there's this pastor that was supposed to send me a Bible, and he didn't send me a Bible. I says, oh, yeah, was that Pastor Lewis? And he says, yeah, I think so. I says, the Bonds of Affliction Ministry? And he says, yeah. I says, well, God must have thought that you needed more than just a Bible, and he sent me.
All right, yeah. Well, you know, I remember I worked, I was a chaplain for a while down at the Justice Center downtown for a short period. And in their time, one of the fellows from our church donated 3,000 Bibles, 3,000 Bibles. And so the sheriff out there, Joe Cotty, was a friend of mine. He let me use the trucks and sent some deputies to haul all those Bibles from Joe County out there to the Cuyahoga County. And when we unloaded them down there, I remember that the Cuyahoga deputies were standing there on the dock saying to the Joe County deputies, what are you guys doing here in our territory? And they said, ask Pastor Sanders. And so I said, they're bringing the Word of God. Do you have a problem with that? No, 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 no. Okay. But I remember what happened because the head chaplain down there at that time, he was an older fella. He looked and he was a black man, an older fella, and he looked at those Bibles and he started crying. And I says, I thought you'd be happy with all these. He said, brother, he said, this is the first time in my whole life I've had more Bibles than inmates. And he said, this was, what an answer to prayer he had, you know, and he was a good, godly man. Anyhow, so, you know, we're talking about all of this stuff because when we take a look at, people will often say, When I talk about with the prissy preachers, we used to have a problem. Whenever we would speak out against corruption, and then the one place you and I went after more than any place else was in the church. I mean, that's where judgment begins. Where?
In the house of the Lord.
And it begins in that pulpit, huh? And that's why we went after the pastors so hard, and of course the apostate church out there. And I remember a preacher telling me that my Bible doesn't teach me that I have to that I should stand against the government. And I said, really? And my Bible tells me that I should have to obey the government. I said, oh, okay. I said, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of the prison epistles? Of course. You know, Peter and Paul, okay, and especially, you know, the Lord Jesus himself. I said, why do you think were they in prison for obeying the government or for obeying God? And this prissy preacher said, boy, you know what? I never thought of that. You got a point there. I may have to change my way of thinking on that matter. It's an amazing thing, right? The government, when we have the divine institution of human government, when God gave it to us, He gave us 5 points, Richard, remember? And those 5 points were first to who he gave it to. And you find that in the Noahic Covenant in Genesis, verses 10, 11, and 12, and verse 15 and 16. Then the second was the intent. You find that in verses 1 through 4, and that was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. But then the third point, and this is the entire purpose, the most important part of that whole thing, was the entire purpose of legitimate, I'm talking about real human government, was to preserve the image of God, that being man. That's where we got the statute of the death penalty, right? And here, and by the time you got to that, three times already in Scripture, he had told you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Okay, today, again, we've killed over 100 million of our own babies, and you actually had an apostate right from the pit of hell, a Roman Catholic priest, come out just recently and say that he can see how people can be justified in an abortion. That man's an apostate from the pit of hell. I wish I didn't have. And every one of these apostates, the World and National Council of Churches, United Church of the Antichrist, they make that statement. That's right from the pit of hell. But here, then the fourth point was, if you remember, the means by which man was to govern for God. God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, God's covenants, you know, God's promises. And then the fifth point was all people and all nations that would be in compliance with the first four, well, they would be at peace and not at war with God. Mm-hmm. I don't know in any nations today it's peace with God, do you?
No.
No. It's a time. So going back to for such a time as this, and that's was the title of the message. That's what we were talking about. Now, Scripture says that God has raised us up for this time. Right now, it's no accident that we're living here. And now, so we, in the times that we're living in, should be in service for God. We should be in service for God. And we need to stand and be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so when the Lord said, who will fight on the Lord's side, what did they say? Here I am. What did I say? Choose me, Lord, right?
Send me. Yes.
Here I am. Use me. Send me, Lord, right? And that's been our motto from day one. Now, so you spent that time in prison. I think that's where you met that fellow sitting next to you there.
I sure did. Yeah, Tony.
Okay. He was a raging heathen, wasn't he? So anyhow, and I think that's probably how I met him through you. I'm not
correct.
Sure if I remember right, yeah, mm-hmm. when I came out there. Because they had asked me to bring our team of pastors out there and to try to talk to the that gang that they had, what were they called, the disrespectful or felons. What was the name of those guys? They wasn't disrespectful felons. The heartless.
Heartless felon.
Pardon?
Heartless felon.
Heartless felons, yeah. And they asked us if I would come. The warden said, please, could you maybe come and talk to these guys? And I remember, I mean, these guys were we had some of the inmates, like Watson. I don't know what ever happened to him. Do you remember inmate Watson?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
He was one of our older guys, you know, and they preyed on the older inmates. They went after, they tried to, you know, like they were like a pack of vultures. And so I said, all right, we'll come in and we'll try to talk to these young guys. They were young guys. But I said, look, we need to talk to them one-on-one because you're not going to give them the gospel in the group because they'll be afraid to make a decision within the group because they'll be afraid that that they'll be knocked off if they do that, okay? But the prison says, we can't do that. We can't let you do one-on-one. You got to do it to them in a group. Well, that's impossible, okay? But anyhow, that's another story.
But you were alluding to it. How does Tony connect to to Richard?
Well, he was in the prison.
In the same prison. Tony was in the same prison. Okay. And so I think I met Tony, I think the first week I was there.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
Tony was already there.
Yeah, Tony was already there, yeah.
We had, at that time, I had about four or five inmates there that we were visiting, if I remember right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of them had Dan.
You had Dennis Wants.
Dennis Wants, yeah, he was out.
Yeah, Dennis Wants, yeah. He's
Amato. Dan Amato.
Danny Amato, yeah.
Yeah, he passed away a while back. A couple years ago he passed away.
His health wasn't that good even then, so.
There was a number of them. But these heartless felons, I remember them. There was the deputy warden was a woman, and she was a blonde-haired woman.
Yeah.
And she asked, could I talk to you for a minute? And so I said, yeah. So I went and I was talking to her. She says, we got to do something with these people. And she was very upset because as she had gone out, those heartless felons had called her an old whore. Hey, old whore. Now, that's, the deputy warden. But, and she said, I can't take being disrespected this way. And what am I going to do about it, And so that's why we went and we did try to talk to some of them, most we can, the best we could. We did the best we could with what we had to work with.
Right.
And so.
Well, I found being in prison, the people that came in to minister, a lot of times they didn't have a real good handle on what was needed. Where God put me in this situation where I'm living every day with them, and I'm able to touch their hearts a lot better because I know more about them, and I'm seeing, and I'm not just coming in for a little bit of time and leaving. So I had an opportunity to reach people that other ministries would never have been able to reach.
Sure.
I know, and I heard about that all the time from people there that I know that, these inmates were so glad that you were there. I know that you weren't there voluntarily, but you were there. And that's where the Lord put you. Just like, that fellow named Joseph, right? He had a similar story, okay? And then that brings us over here to that fellow sitting there, Tony Chaffee.
How you doing?
We're doing okay. Now, you spent a lot of time, 25 years, for a crime that never took place, huh?
That's correct.
And so I remember when I come down to the prison to see you guys, every now and then I would bring a judge with me, or I would bring to come in and talk to you. And it got to the point where I would bring maybe a state senator, and for a while there I had a good friend that was a governor, and so... and they would ask me to go in and tell them what's really happening. Go in and come back. And because of that, I was not well liked by some of the criminal elements there at the prison, was I?
No, you were not.
You got to get closer to your mic. There,
I'm sorry. Yeah. No, you were not.
And so.
Well, what happened, Tony?
Well, Pastor Sanders would come and see us, and after he leaves, they would question us and what was said, and they would watch us for about a couple of weeks, and they would look at our mail, going out mail, and they were very suspicious of him.
Well, what would happen is, as soon as I stepped foot on the prison property, the word would go out, he's here, okay? And you kind of got a creepy feeling. Now, I don't want to give the opinion that everybody in the prison system were bad. There were some good corrections officers, some good Christian people, but I would say that they would be the minority in there, in within that prison system where I went. But there were some good people, but basically, as far as that prison system went, and here in Ohio, what, in my opinion, you simply have two groups of criminals, one in charge of the other. What do you think?
That's correct.
Yeah, there was a lot of garbage going on, and a lot of it was brought in because of some of the staff. But I think, you know, I would say probably a good half of the staff or better was honest people just trying to earn a living and did they best they can. But then you had, of course, the ones that stand out that were the obnoxious ones. They always stand out, and you remember them more so. But there were, I would say, probably a good half the staff was pretty decent. You didn't give them a hard time. They didn't give you a hard time.
Yeah, and that's been my experience. You know, it's about, it seemed off to know because there were, well, there were times when my life was threatened, you know, and more than once. And though they didn't, it was very important to watch, make sure I didn't see what I wasn't supposed to see. And that's what I was asked to go in there, sit in there to find out all this corruption, because all the drugs in that, they were brought in, most of those drugs were brought in, they're from staff. That wasn't from the inmates. And so, in fact, I was warned on one occasion by a deputy warden that, look, the word is they're going to try to kill you, okay? And they did, okay? And that's how, you know, the corruption is there. But we are to be salt and light, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we are to run to this battle. It's a terrible thing that's happening. And now, Tony, we're coming up to a break. When I said that if I were the king, I would first put all the abortionists in prison and then go after the Ohio Parole Board. We're going to talk about why that is, the parole board. Because we're coming up to a break. But we're going to hear your story. You spent 25 years in prison and for crimes that never committed. And so when we come back from the break, I want you to go ahead and tell folks about that. Meanwhile, folks out there, I wanted you to know that tomorrow you're going to have doers of the word, real doers of the word, and they're going to be out at 12,000 Shaker Boulevard at about 8:30, and it's cold. It's very cold. But our people are going to be out there because they kill babies there at the Ohio's biggest bloody whorehouse of death called an abortion mill. And they could sure use some folks out there, 12,000 Shaker Boulevard tomorrow at 8:30 between right around East 100 and 16th Street and to 122nd Street. So we're coming up to a break. How close are we? How many? Okay. 30 seconds? All right. I'm making him work. All right. So anyhow, tomorrow morning, 8:30, come on out and help those folks. Help them save babies. Remember, that's what the good Lord said to do. Rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. Okay, now I got it, folks. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.